Okay, but, okay. While I go, no one of the guys walking up to fix the button. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning because you're our Father. We come in the mighty name of Jesus. We come into your throne. We come and we just say thank you for this day. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for every promises in this word that is for us, so we can live out this abundant, glorious life that you have for us. Thank you. And today, Father, I thank you, Father, that I got a lot of word that's going to go forth, and it is going to produce, and it's going to change us. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Praise God. Has anybody ever heard somebody say to you, fake it till you make it?
Yeah.
Well, I remember growing up, and I there was a job that happened when I was really young, and this older woman, and I didn't know what I was doing, I was kind of clueless, and the older woman said, Dee, just fake it till you make it. And I, you know what I found out? Well, I tried faking it till you make it. And you know what I found out? I didn't make it. And it wasn't going good, because people really want to see the real deal. You just can't fake it till you make it. So fake it to make it doesn't work. But I will tell you what works. Faith works. So, title of the message. It's not faith, but fake it till you make it. It's faith until you make it. All right? Faith until you make it. So we're going to talk a lot about faith. This has been on my heart since the beginning of the year. The Lord was just really dealing with me on the foundations that we need to lay. For some of you and others, we're just going to reset. So we're going to talk about faith. Some of you can probably do just as good, if not better, job up here. But you know what? Just to know it and not do it isn't going to do anything. So this could be a refreshing course for you. Some of you, it could just be, you know, wonderful. Am I too close here? All right, I'm moving in. Now am I good? Wait, give me sign language.
I don't know.
I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do it. Okay. Okay. But Wayne will tell me when I do something wrong. I'll watch. Everybody wave away.
All right. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Give me another one. Give me Sherry. Please. No, bring this right. Okay. No. about faith. We're going to talk about faith. And you know, I was thinking I could probably have a bunch of you stand up right now and tell me about a time when you faithed it. You took one of those promises or one of those instructions and you said, Lord, you said, and I'm going to walk this out. You watched God do some things. How many people have watched God do things in your life? Matter of fact, that was how Scott started, you know? So I know that you have microphones this morning, but I'm going to tell you a few things, okay? Probably one of my second favorite Bible stories to tell, I want to tell. It's Jesus and his 12 disciples. They just finished up ministering, and Jesus says, hey guys, I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go up on the hill, and I want you, the disciples, I want you all to get in the boat and go to the other side. How many know this story, right? So they're in the boat, and they're making their way to the other side. Now, remember, some of those guys in the boat are professional fishermen. Okay? So they're in the boat, and all of a sudden a storm comes upon them, and the Bible says it was a storm. And you know, I just kind of imagine sometimes maybe like 3-foot waves or 4-foot waves or 5-foot waves that are hitting this boat, and it's rocking the boat, and they start squealing like a bunch of sissies. Okay? You read between the lines in my Bible translation, you'll see that. And they're just squealing and stuff like that. Now, remember, again, some of them are professional fishermen, so they've been on the boat before, okay? And they're miles out, and they go, gosh, if this thing capsizes, we don't have any life preservers, and I'm probably going down. I'm probably going under. I'm probably going to drown, okay? So you're reading this, all right? And so they're in a storm, and the waves, and the wind, and all of that. And all of a sudden, they notice, you know, this peripheral vision, somebody's walking on the water. So if you don't think they were sissies to begin with, they were big sissies. Wow, there's a ghost, it's going to get us. I mean, they're squealing, all right? They're really losing it. And then they notice it's Jesus, right? Y'all know the story. It's Jesus is walking on the water. And Peter says to Jesus, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come. And Jesus answers this big word, real simple. What does he say? Come. Jesus answers and he says, come. Now, think about this. When Jesus said that one word, come, guess what? The storm didn't stop. The waves didn't stop. Okay? The boat was still rocking. But what happened? Peter took that one word that Jesus spoke. What was it? Come. And he gets out of the boat and steps in the waves, steps in the water, and he starts walking. Right? Now, if Jesus hadn't done a miracle there, he would have been down under, right? He would have been long gone, okay? But you know what he did? Jesus spoke one word. And Peter stepped out on it, stepped out of the boat, stepped out in faith, and walked on the water, okay? Just by one simple word, all right? And what we could say is he faithed it. Peter faithed it, okay? Now, I'd say this first up. I have heard some wacko, extreme teachings on faith. Raise your hand if you've been a part of it. No, don't raise your hand if you've been a part of it. I've just seen just wacko crazy things, okay? But listen, in any subject in the Bible, you will hear extreme teachings. You'll hear extreme. I have heard extreme teaching on the Holy Spirit. Oh my gosh, from about 10 years ago, the subject of grace was really just coming across fresh again. And I've heard some extreme things about grace, okay? But here's the thing. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? You don't throw the subject out just because people are being extreme. So you don't throw faith out. And listen, I have heard some really, I think I've been part of it too, okay? So I don't want to be the extreme wacko, right? I can't think about saying that word, okay? But listen, how do you keep yourself safe from being caught up in the extreme? That is a good question. Okay? And it's really, so I want to talk about So then faith, how do you get faith? Comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Okay, now that particular scripture, if you were to read up about five, it's all about the five scriptures above it. Okay, and the five scriptures above it are about receiving Jesus. How many of you have received Jesus into your life? Okay, so to receive Jesus, you had to hear the good news, right? And then faith came, and then you said, I believe, right? I believe, all right? So here's another scripture. Just jot this down and we go real quick. Colossians 2:6. It says, as you have received, raise your hand if you've received Jesus, okay? So as you receive Christ, continue to walk in him. So you put those two scriptures together, and guess what? Faith, yes, I have. Faith is something you have to continue in. It's not a one done, that's it. So write that down if you're taking notes. Faith, you have to continue in, all right? You have to continue after you're a Christian, right? So how does faith come, everybody? Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So if I were to make it a little bit shorter, faith comes by the word of God. So that word, I was like, how do I say this? So faith comes by the word of God. That word there is from the Greek word, it means rhema, okay? And rhema, how many of you know what that means? You better raise your hand. It means the spoken word, okay? And that word means the spoken word of God, all right? And it's not just what comes out of God at that moment. This is the spoken word. It also is the word that you hear here. Like when you're reading the Bible and you've read something like 100 times and you read it and man, you hear it here. Okay? That's the rhema. That's the spoken word. Okay? All right? So, if that's how faith comes by the word, it'll keep you out of extremes. Okay? That's the way you stay safe. So guess what you have to be in? The Word. The Bible. Okay? So that's how you do it. All right. I'm going to give you a main idea today. You ready? Write it down. Because you're going to hear it 1,000 times. Ready? This is what I want you to understand so clear that when you walk out of here, you got it, baby. You got it. You ready? Faith enables ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Stand up if you're an ordinary person. Everybody's up. Okay. All right. Jeez Louise. All right, just test me on faith. Faith enables ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Faith enables ordinary people. Okay, think about Peter. He was an ordinary guy, right? And you might even say he was a little subordinary because he didn't have an education. He was a fisherman. They didn't go to college for that, all right? So he's probably a little below average, okay? And he was a professional fisherman. And he probably wasn't a really great businessman because he was kind of like a one-boat guy. He didn't say he had a franchise of boats, okay? So he's just an ordinary guy. Everybody say ordinary. But one word from Jesus, from God, okay, made him do and be extraordinary. One word will make ordinary people do extraordinary things. One word will make ordinary people do extraordinary things, all right? Now, raise your hand, okay, stand up if you've ever walked on water. Gotcha, none of you. Follow the rest is good. I have never walked on water. Peter walked on water. That's extraordinary. Yeah? Yeah, okay? All right. Now, fake theologians, I just want to say it really nice. Fake theologians say this. Well, you know, Jesus and Peter, they didn't really walk on water. It was ice. It was frozen. And you know, I got to thinking of, I've read some movies that He has not told me to step out of boats and walk on water. So it's not going to work. I'm going to go in my life jacket, all right? But let me tell you this, guys. God has said many things, and you'll find them in the Word of God, promises that He has told you that you can get out and faith it. Amen? Pray, amen. I'm excited. Ready? Faith enables ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So, what I want to do this morning, and I'm going to give you six faith facts. So, it will help you understand faith enables ordinary people to do extraordinary things. This is going to help you, and it's also is laying a foundation because we're going to talk a lot about faith for the next couple weeks. So here's number one, lesson number one faith fact. You ready? We please God when we faith it. We please God when we faith it. If you're taking notes, write that down, okay? By faith, we please God. Now, any of y'all have kids? I have four kids. They were kids, but now they're adults. Praise God. Okay? And my kids were pretty good, you know, not perfect. And there were times they didn't listen to me. And there were times that they did some things that I didn't really like. All right? But can I ask all the parents out here, don't you still love them?
Amen.
Yeah, sometimes I write it down. I love them, I love them, I love them. Okay? We still love them, whether they do everything or they don't. Right? We still love them, all right? But when they do the unexpected, put a smile on my face. It just pleases me, all right? It just pleases me. So, and I remember this really. I remember, because I'm a good parent, I'm training on my kids and the way they should go. And I'm going to train them how to make their bed every morning. So every morning, when they're really itty bitties, we go, we're making our bed. We go in and we do it every morning. This went on for a month. Because every morning we make our bed. And one day, the kid gets up and makes their bed. Okay? And I walk in, and what happens to my face? This big smile. Why? It pleases me. Okay? Because they did the unexpected, which really shouldn't be expected. Okay? Right? So, everybody say, God loves me. Whether I think or not. God is love, and God loves you, whether you faith it or not. But, write this down, faith pleases you. You do and faith it, the things that God's instructions or what God speaks to you, you put a big smile on His face, because faith pleases God. Praise God. All right, here's a scripture for you. I got a bunch ready. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. See that word, please? All right? You see the word faith? Yeah. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Put a smile on Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So faith pleases God. Faith. And now look over at Hebrews 11:2. It says, it was their faith that made their ancestors pleasing to God. So it's just some things that makes God smile. There's some things that makes God smile. Okay, so when we take what He says, we read it or we hear it on the inside, we take His instructions, we take His promises, and we step out, put a smile on God's face. It pleases Him. Okay, so number one, faith pleases God. Here's number two, fun fact, or faith fact, ready? Faith fact number two, we can see what God sees when we faith it. We can see what God sees when we faith it, okay? Now, every one of you are limited, okay? Okay, I can only see with these eyes. With these eyes, I really don't know what's happening tomorrow, I don't know what's happening next month, I don't even know what's going on around the corner, okay? I can only see with these eyes. I can only know what I know, okay? But if we learn to faith it, okay, we can see what God sees with these eyes. I'm going to call these eyes the eyes of faith. So we can see what God sees when we faith it, right? And Second Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." This is the Amplified. Living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God. Praise God. So I want to just really get a little bit, all right? We don't throw these eyes out just because we're supposed to see what God sees, okay? That's ridiculous, okay? And that doesn't mean that we stop planning because we're going to fake it. It doesn't mean that we don't think with our brain, okay? A process, all right? But guys, there are some times that when you go through life, and life can be really hard, life can be depressing, life can just kick the snot out of you, right? Life can scare you, life can grab the peace out of you, all right? But we have another set of eyes. Okay, so you can do life that way when it hits, or you can grab hold of the other set of eyes, okay, and see what God sees. And man, it will enable you to do and to live so much better, so much better. So here's Hebrews 11:1. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof, I like that word, of what we cannot see. Here's another translation. This is the Amplified. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. I like that first one better. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. Okay. So I'm thinking about heaven. How many of you believe heaven's real? Okay? I have not had the pleasure of seeing heaven with these eyes. Okay? I have not. All right? But I know it's there. You know, what's the proof? Faith. What's the proof? I read it in the Bible, and I see it here, and I know it's true. All right? Jesus. How many of you have seen Jesus in the flesh? I have not had the pleasure of seeing Jesus in the flesh, all right? But I'm convinced he exists. Why? Because I accepted him, I read the word about Jesus, and I accepted him by faith. Okay, and y'all are the same. I think about martyrs. You know, we have martyrs today. These are Christians that are being put to death because of their faith in Jesus, all right? And in Iran, they are scooping up Christians, and they're killing them, or they're putting them in jail. And the same thing's true of China. We'll read about China's going on there. Chinese people, lovely people. Government, not so much, okay? So you got these nations, and they have Christians that are being thrown in jail, they're being put to death, okay? And then, think about the Bible. Yeah, after Jesus died and rose again, the first day, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people received Jesus, okay? And a week later, they go to them and they go, "Hey, deny him or you're dead." All right? Okay? Now, somehow they could see here and they believed that there was a heaven. They believed there was Jesus or there is Jesus. And they just said, "Nope, not denying him. He is real." Okay? That was faith. Guys, that was faith, right? So, faith enables ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Praise God. And when we can see what God sees, and better yet, see what God says, you will then walk in faith. He will do extraordinary things in your life. Praise God. All right. So, number three, faith fact. Take the notes, write this down. We are pursuing one of the big seven. I'll explain that in a minute. When we walk by faith, we are pursuing one of the big seven. When we walk by faith, now the Bible has a whole bunch of things it tells you to flee, like forest run, run away. Okay, the Bible has a whole bunch of things it says you should flee, such as we're going to touch on it in this chapter. It says flee the love of money. It says flee sin. And it lists a whole bunch of things. The Bible has some things, like if you're not listening to your mama, read your Bible. The Bible will tell you what to flee. Okay, the Bible has things that you can flee. But listen to this, this is even better. It also tells us what we're to pursue. All right? So we're going to talk about pursue. And the scripture we're going to open up to in a minute is, it talks about seven things. One scripture that all talks about seven things that you all and we all are supposed to pursue. Right? So this one verse lists six of them. The one that's not mentioned is peace. All right? And peace is peace with people. Really nice to have, okay? Peace with everybody, peace with people. And the other one's internal peace. And the Bible says, and I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, that you are to pursue peace. Everybody say pursue. Peace, okay? But faith is important. It's one of the big seven. So if you're, matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians, just jot it down, 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, okay? So it says, now exists faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love, all right? So the greatest is love, but faith is one of the big three, and it's in there, okay? Faith is in there, all right? Now listen to 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Those are those verses up ahead. You know, in case you can't remember what your mama said, we'll read those, right? Flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness, all right? So faith is one of the big seven. We also said it's one of the big three. But can you all agree that love is really important? And the Bible says we need to pursue it. And you all agree that righteousness is in the Word of God is really important. And you need to pursue it. You need to understand it. You need to pursue it. Okay? But there's this substance called faith. Right? And it's also really important. And he's saying you need to pursue it. Because God is going to ask you to do extraordinary things. And you will need the substance. And you need to pursue it. You need to understand it. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor Lee. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's do number four. Faith fact number four. God helps us fight our battles. Is that one of the songs we sing?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. God helps us fight our battles when we faith it. God helps us fight our battles when we faith it. So just think about about last year. Sometimes we have things that hit us that are bigger than us. Yeah, like just things are hitting you. They're bigger, okay? And guess what? You are going to need God to help you. Okay? There's a lot of things I can do by myself, but there are things that are bigger than that. And you're going to need God to help you. And when we learn to faith it, that's when God will come on the scene. Alright? He'll come on the scene, alright? So listen to this. 1 Timothy 6:12. Oh, you all know this one. Ready? Fight the good fight of faith. How many of you know that scripture? Fight. Write that down. It's supposed to know. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, that word good in the Greek actually translates as better. Write that down underneath there. Okay? And I like better than I like good. Because you know what better tells me? Guess what? There's options. There's options. So if God said, hey, Dean, there's a better way for you to handle these problems than in your own strength. Scott, anybody know that to be true? Anybody figured that out one day when nothing was working and you were just exhausted? Okay? So there's better ways to do it than in your own strength. Right? And that's called faith in it. So this reminds me of a story. I love telling stories. In the Cashman clan, there is the infamous Kirby vacuum cleaner. Anybody ever have a Kirby? They are big and metal and heavy, okay? So it got passed around. Mom and Dad bought it, and then Mom didn't like it, and she got her Electrolux, and then when it broke down, so it ended up in my house because my Electrolux broke, okay? So this was a long time ago. And one day, with this Kirby vacuum cleaner, I got company coming. What do you do when company comes? I got vacuum one more time, okay? And Jack would take over my dining room table, and it was a mess. And I go, clean that table up, right? So he's in there cleaning up the table, and I pull out this Kirby, and I just got it, borrowed it here, and I have the belt broke. Turn it on and broke. You can smell it, you know. part rubber. So I flip it over, okay, and in my mind, I am an amazing fixer. In my mind, I can fix anything. It's just my fantasy, okay? So I flip it over, and there's this metal plate that holds, I figured this out, so I'm a little engineering, that holds the belt on. So I'm trying to yank that thing off, that metal plate, and it won't come off, and it won't come off. And I'm just getting happier, and it won't come off. So I jump up, and I go to the toolbox, and I bring out this big whopping flathead screwdriver, and I'm walking in, and Jack goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" I go, "I can't get this off. Keep cleaning. I can't get it. Keep cleaning. Don't stop." Jack can't be messed, okay? And I goes, "What are you going to do with it?" "Well, I can't get this metal thingy off so I can put a new belt on. So I thought I'd just push on it and pry it." And he comes over just so sweetly, really, not exaggerating this. And he's got a smile. He says, "Never force anything. Look." And he's got a grin on his face. "We need to look. Just get down there and look." So I get down and look, and there's these two latches. Bing! Push them in. Pop! The thing falls off, okay? Praise God. So why am I telling you this story? Because I am an engineer fix-it person, right? No. Personally, I have found many times, especially when I was a new Christian, a baby Christian, maybe even a couple years ago, I go running around with a screwdriver trying to fix everything in my life. All the problems in my life, okay? And I just said that voice, it wasn't even Jack, it was God saying, "Dave, you can't just fix things in your life with a screwdriver. Do it with faith." And I'm like, okay, do it with faith, okay? So I want to encourage you too. Some of y'all, I don't know if it fits, all right, are running around with a screwdriver trying to fix everything in your life. And God says, "I have this thing called faith, the substance I've placed in you, okay? And you can fight your battles with faith." Amen. I appreciate you guys for being made happy. Okay, so write that one down. Number five, here we go. Number five, some Christians can't faith it. That doesn't sound very good, does it? Some Christians can't faith it, right? So, again, how does faith come? By hearing the word of God, all right? So if a Christian isn't being taught well, their faith is going to be, okay? And if a Christian isn't reading their Bible a lot, more than once a week, their faith is going to be, all right? So if you don't hear the word, okay, you're not going to have faith. You have a little smidgen, okay? Y'all, I spoke about 2 seconds another week, okay? But some Christians, because of that, can't faith, right? They can't faith us. And listen to what Jesus said about our faith. Number one, Jesus said our faith can be absent. Doesn't sound good, all right? Just jot this down. Mark 16:14. He rebuked them for their lack of faith. I don't want to be in that category. Lack of faith. Number two, Jesus said this. Our faith can be weak. All right? Just jot this down. Matthew 14:21. "You of little faith," he said. I don't want to be no faith. I don't want to be little faith. I want to be the next one. Write this one down. Number three, Jesus said, our faith can be great. Our faith can be great. That means abundance. That means you can have abundance, all right? So listen to this scripture, Matthew 8:10. "I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Now, most of you know the story. The story is about a centurion, Roman centurion, which is a soldier, but he was over a whole bunch of people. So he's a Roman centurion, okay? And the Roman centurion sends some of his friends and his servants to go find Jesus. And he sends them to go find Jesus because one of his other servants is sick. And he says, "Hey, y'all go and find Jesus and tell him I have a sick servant and will he pray for me?" All right? But he said it a little better than that. He said, "Tell Jesus I have a sick servant. Would he speak the word?" Right? So, the Jesus and they say, our master is a Roman centurion. He's really good to the Jewish people. He even gives donations to the temple. And he asked us to ask you if you would pray for his sick servant. Would you speak the word? And Jesus goes, well, sure, I'll come. And they go, no! He doesn't want you to come to his house. He's not worthy. He is asking you to speak the word and he'd be healed. And the Bible says that it just blew Jesus' socks off. Right? If a Roman, a man not in the covenant of God, if a Roman centurion could say, Jesus, speak the word and my servant would be healed, how much more about us? We're covenant people, okay? We are, all of us. So if that Roman guy can have great faith, then we should have great faith. We can have great faith, okay? And that is why faith enables ordinary people to do what? Extraordinary things. Okay, listen to this. This is Acts chapter 11, verse 24. This is a guy, Barnabas. Barnabas was a believer. He was tight with the Apostle Paul. He was a biggie running around with Apostle Paul. Listen to what it says about him. Acts 11, 24. For he, Barnabas, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Right? So, how many of you would agree it's nice to be called a good man or a good woman? That's nice. It's good, that's right. Okay? And it's nice to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that some other day soon. Okay? So that's nice. But listen, this guy did extraordinary things. Right? This guy did extraordinary things because he was full of faith. He was full of faith. That means he was full of word, the word, because when you're full of the word, you're going to be full of faith. All right? So he was full of the word. All right? How would you like people to look around and say, man, they are just full of the word? Yeah, they are full of the word. Okay? Now, funny story. My sister, one of my younger ones, she used to bring this interesting person. You know what that means? I want to say something else. Interesting person to our house all the time. It's one of her girlfriends. She'd bring her over, and he would just listen to, what did I say, jiving, just lying and jiving, just flapping her, and just my sister's friend would come to the house, and she's like, meh, and she's just lying, and just, okay? And then she would leave, thank you, Jesus. And my dad would go, she's full of beep. She's just full of beep. Okay? Listen, guys. I want people to say of me today, and I want people to say of you today, you are full of faith. Amen? Full of faith. All right? And that will only happen when you start putting the word into your life, the word into your heart, the word in your heart. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Okay? And this is why this series is going to help you go to a higher level. So, look at somebody and say, you're full of faith. Come on, say it louder.
You're full of faith.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you've ever preached a pulpit, but one of the greatest fears of a minister is to say a beep. And on occasions, I said, and all I can do is laugh. What am I going to do about it? Okay, I have to talk too fast. And I was like, praise God. So, full of faith. Amen. Here's our last one, number six. Should we take notes? Jesus, and this is the serious side. Jesus can't do some things. Jesus can't do some things unless we faith. That's a really strong statement, sentence, okay? Now, I'm going to build a little bit. You've got to stay with me because the ending's good. Right, Deb? I preached this to Deb already on the foyer, okay? But let's always say this again. Jesus can't do some things unless we have faith.
Bless you. Okay?
Now, I believe in a sovereign God. I really believe in a sovereign God. And what is a sovereign God? God can do anything. How many agree with that? Anything, anywhere, anytime. So, that's a big word for you today. He's sovereign, right? God God can do anything, anywhere, anytime, he's sovereign, okay? But, you know, you always hate when stuff starts with a but. Okay, but, listen, the sovereign God has set up covenants. And what covenant do we live under?
The new covenant.
New.
Yes, somebody gets a lollipop. New, we live under the new covenant, but he has Old Testament covenant and new, okay? And you don't throw all the them out, but okay, new. Say it, okay, that's what he's saying. So, we have a sovereign God who could do anything, anywhere, anytime, but he set up covenants. And in the covenants, there are instructions, there are directions, and it's the best word I've got scribbled down in my notes. It's like a contract. God has a contract, and there's some things in the contract that you have to do in order for the contract to work at the end, okay? So, we have a sovereign God who can do anything, everything, and anything, but he's got a covenant and that we live under, and the covenant has rules and instructions. That's why I just scribbled this down. James chapter 1 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who freely gives abundantly. And it says the next verse, but let him ask in faith. I'm winking, all right? Okay, not wavering. Don't let that person waver or doubt think he will receive anything from God. So we have a sovereign God who set up a sovereign covenant, who has blessings and promises, but there's some instructions, and you have to have be in faith. You have to believe. So he's saying, hey, you can ask God, but believe that whatever he said, he will give you. That's how you do it. You ask God, you believe that he can do it, right? Okay. So you know what makes it really easy to believe all the promises, all the instructions? You know what makes it really easy to believe? All right, ready? When you know the promises. Right? When you know the promises, you can believe. You can say. Jot this down. We're going. We're cruising. Here we go. Philippians 4:13 says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Okay? That is a promise from the sovereign God. And my responsibility is to faith it, to believe it. So I don't have to go, God, I want to, you know, could you give me some strength? Oh, if a billion be your will, no. There's the promise by the sovereign God who I'm under his covenant. So I'm grabbing it. I'm believing it. All right? Here's another one, just a few verses down. Philippians 3:19. My God shall supply. Oh, I love that. All your needs according to his abundance. All right? So, God, I have a need, you know, if it be your will. No, you don't have to pray that. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to faith it. I'm going to believe it because he said it.
Yeah,
right? He's the sovereign God. So, write this down. If he made a promise, and you will find them in your Bible, if he made a promise.
No, I'm pretty sure it's a
we know he will uphold his promise. Okay? I know that. And I didn't always know that. Sometimes things don't look like this and start moving around. And I have to go back in the Word. Right. God, you said that. You're sovereign. You will do this. You're God that cannot lie. All right? So we're going to faith it. Amen. Now, sometimes because we don't believe, he can't do some things. This is the kicker of the end. All right? Let me give you an example. Jesus is, he's been on the planet for 3.5 years. He's going in this town and that town. He's doing miracles here and miracles there. He's blind eyes open. The lepers are clean and all of that. And Jesus goes to his hometown. Okay? And the Bible tells the chatter as he's in the hometown. Okay, and this is Jesus. He's been doing miracles for 3.5 years. And just awesome stuff, okay? He goes into the home, his hometown, and this is the chatter. Is that Jesus? Wait on his mother. Is that Jesus? He's the stepson of the carpenter. Is that Jesus? We know his brothers. We play football with them. Is that Jesus? They are humanizing him, guys, and they do not believe that he is the Son of God. And there, Matthew 13, verse 55, he says, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Okay? I want us to be people that we allow Jesus to do extraordinary things because we believe. Amen? So, these faith facts that I went over, they are so important that you get it. It's just, find out where you are and let's go to the next level. Amen? Because ordinary people can do extraordinary things. Ordinary people can do extraordinary things. And listen, there is a world right now. You've got neighbors, you've got family members, and they need to see a living God. They will see a living God in you when, if you have faith that you step out. And it's, and the Bible talks about signs and wonders. Those are crazy things, okay? But God is waiting for us to have faith, to step out, to do extraordinary things for people. So how many of you are excited that you are going to do extraordinary things? Right? Faith enables ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Praise God. Can we just say thank you, Lord? Thank you that faith enables me, an ordinary person, extraordinary things, because I will step out in faith. Just close your eyes for a minute. Father, I'd like to pray for everyone right now. And I thank you. Woo! Lord, I thank you that you have given us the substance of faith. And I pray that you open everybody's eyes, everybody's heart, Father, to see this substance of faith, and to believe that you're a promise keeper, you're a good God. And you need us to step out so you can do incredible things. In our lives, that's great, but there's people that need us. They need to see this in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm working on this, guys. I have not arrived. So the other day, I was at Home Depot picking up something, and this gentleman started telling me all these things that were going wrong with his back. It was bad. I'm like, you're walking, okay? And for a second, I got fear. And I went in the car. I felt so sick. And then I got out of the car. Went back in and I said, can I pray for you? That was me stepping out and thinking, what happened? I don't know, okay? But I'll go back to Home Depot and get some help, right? So, guys, this is, stretch yourself. Just, yeah, one more thing. Come on. Alright, look. Yesterday I went to a celebration of life for Pastor Barry Ryan. He and his wife pastored, originally started called New Line Christian Center, and they changed the name to Gateway, and passed away. And it was such a blessing to hear testimonies, just stories about this man who's not perfect, but loved Jesus, knew Jesus, changed his life, and stepped out and walked in faith. Okay. So why did I tell you all that? Because guys, you don't know what's happening tomorrow. Tomorrow, today could be your last day on the planet. Okay? I'd like to think I'm going for 120 and I'm just gonna be here to see you. Alright? But you don't know. But you don't know about tomorrow. So here's my question. Do you know where you'll be for eternity? And there is an eternity. The Bible says there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That means you don't want to go there. And the Bible says that you can know by just receiving Jesus. It's quite simple. It'll change your life. Man, you'll just be so changed. So if you're here and the Lord's just speaking, as I'm talking to you, I would like to extend an invitation to receive Jesus. Change your life forever. And he has already taken your sins and thrown them away. You just need to receive that. You need to receive Jesus. And then you'll have this thing, and I can't go preach it anymore, but you'll have this thing called an abundant eternal life. And heaven is really your home. Jesus. God sent his son Jesus, and he died on the cross for your sins. If you would believe that and say, Jesus, come into my life with my mouth, you can be a child of God. You will be called what God says, saved, born again, all right? And it is amazing. It is amazing. Because you don't know tomorrow. So if there's anybody here, just raise your hand.